Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears. You. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to 79th and Hallis, man. As usual, I'm your host, Scott, here with my brother, Flows. You can follow us at Bar Chair, Scott, at Flows, and Delaney. Follow 79th and Hallis, 79th A&D Hallis. Follow the Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net. If you are watching us, that means you are a Patreon subscriber, and I salute you right now as you are watching this podcast. We are here, the Bears have won. We are 2-2 after, as Levy said, we're in the first quarter of the season. We're in the first quarter. We're 2-2 in the first quarter of the season, even though it's an extra week this week. Still, and you subscribe, patreon.com/barbershop network.
Of course, if you're watching this, you're already subscribed.
But we might put a clip up.
This is a good way to showcase subscribe to our Patreon. Did I spell that correctly? Yeah, I did.
You spelled that. You
subscribe that right. To our Patreon. We got $10, $5 tiers. Remember, your contribution support the brand.
Yeah, it's your contribution support the brand. If you're watching this,
you see that number? You see this number right
here? Have we even checked the hotline over the last couple weeks?
No, we haven't, but it's just people ain't putting in enough work.
Feel like people haven't been putting on the hotline because they've been on the post-game spaces. Shout out to Pierce.
We had like another 50 calls, people. Two calls yesterday, and there's one today. I'm just gonna play it right now.
Okay, I just want to say, if you notice my eyes are a little droopy right now, I'm a little bit up there right now. I had a nice little bottle of wine today, so bear with me. But continue.
Shut up, nigga.
What's up, 79th and Hallis?
That's Gator.
What's good, Scott?
No, that's Gator.
I don't know how to respond to this, man. We got a quarterback that can actually place the ball like that. That was crazy to see. This is your boy Gator, by the way. So, like, that one pass to Allen Robinson in the double coverage, that was one of the most perfectly placed balls I've ever seen. That pass was just fucking amazing. And shit, shout out my nigga Scott, Justin Fields, first of his name, G. The North remembers, bitch. Fuck y'all talking about. Bear now.
Nigga, he sound like he drunk like you are, nigga.
Nah, he high.
Well, there's that. Anyway, I'm taking over the show because you're clearly inebriated. Anyway, Bears win 24-14. Give your overall thoughts on the game. Just nothing too deep. What are you feeling after the win?
It felt good to watch us score points. I think the number one thing,
watch them score points, sir.
No, I'm gonna say we. I don't give a fuck. You stay up here with your media bullshit and say them.
Crazy thing. I'm walking into Soldier Field in the media entry, and I felt what the media feels, the actual media, and this is not to take away from sports journalists.
Actual media,
but media, like journalists who are covering the White House, politics, things like that, go through a little bit more, and. Someone said, so I'm walking into the media entry, and the lady says there were people who were trying to find out where they could enter. I'm guessing they're one of those United Fight Club or some shit like that, where they get to come into the stadium a little bit early. And she's like, please get out the way for the media. Get out the way for media. And somebody, like, oh, we love the media. We would love to get out the way for the media. I was like, this sound like the media's enemy of people type Trump supporters. I was like, this is interesting. So that was my unique spirit experience entering into Soldier Field today.
As you cut me off,
Irish white men.
As you cut me off from my observations, as I was saying, it was good to see these points being scored. I think more than anything, I was like, damn, I got a quarterback who can hit on a deep ball. And I know it was the Lions. I know a lot of haters out there gonna say, hey, it's Detroit. But if he went out there and he'd have sucked it up, y'all would have been on his ass. I think he played pretty fucking well. The deep balls, man. I can't remember last time I seen a Bears quarterback throw a 66-yard pass. Like, and I think one thing that stood out to me, I kind of feel like we saw the passing of the torch of the wide receiver number one. Go to Darnell Mooney. And I say that because hold on. Let me hot take it up. The reason I'm gonna say that is because I feel like I don't think A-Rob's coming back. I think A-Rob got one foot out the door. Mooney is under a rookie contract. He's gonna be here for a while. Mooney also said in the post game, him and Justin work after the game. You can see there's a chemistry there between the two. So that's what I mean. Now
Justin said that.
Yeah, Justin said that. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm going. I'm not saying A-Rob's for sure going, even though I think he is. Now they could come to agreement. Maybe A-Rob's like, nigga, I'm gonna get some balls now that I got fucking Justin here. That could be part of it, but I just really like the connection I saw between the two men. It was just good. Like even A-Rob when he caught that pass, and that pass, it was a great pass and a great catch. Great catch by A-Rob, keep his feet in, got his Antonio Brown on right there, and it was just a perfect ball placement by Justin. And you saw A-Rob got hyped, and I haven't seen A-Rob that hype in a minute. He's like, "Yeah, nigga, I got a quarterback who can throw." You know what I'm saying? And that's just one thing that stood out to me. And the other thing that stood out to me too is, you know, the offense wasn't incredible, but it was serviceable. And it also shows you just how bad Matt Nagy's offense is, that a serviceable offense looks like the fucking 80s 49ers. You know what I'm saying? And that's what kind of really stood out to me.
I think what stood out to me more than anything was, of course, Justin Fields. You know, we don't even need to really beat around the bush and give our explanations as to what we're thinking about watching Justin Fields. He looks like a good quarterback. Just big play accuracy is, I mean, it's something I've known he's had since he was at Georgia, and the few snaps he got, I knew that he was a good thrower. That being said, I remember when he transferred to Ohio State, and I was like, you couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. Now, Jake Fromm was a successful college quarterback. I never thought highly of Jake Fromm. I thought he was just your everyday run-of-the-mill quarterback who will probably go to the NFL and become a backup for the rest of his career, which is more successful than me, obviously. But I did not think – I feel like if you want to be that star where you get the recognition of being not a lottery pick, but being one of those top 10 picks – then you would have to beat out someone like Jake Fromm. Now, I know it was difficult to try and beat out someone like Jake Fromm because of the main fact of his success. But, I mean, he's ended up being a fifth-round QB, and he is a third-string quarterback right now. I believe he is a practice squad member. Yes, he is a practice squad member. Matter of fact, he came to the NFL last year. Practice squad member. So, Justin couldn't beat out him, and I'm thinking, I'm not expecting too much. Then he comes to the Buckeyes, becomes what I think, maybe not statistically, but the best quarterback the Buckeyes ever had. And so I say that long-winded statement to say I knew he had the ability to throw the long, deep ball, but just to see it take place at Soldier Field, more than anything, I mean, reading his first read was one of the biggest things I wanted. I'm like, okay, hit your first reads. Hit him off and hit him quick. You know, don't wait. Put the ball in anticipatory throws. And when there is an opening, take it. And like I said, the throw to Allen Robinson he made with about a minute and 50 left in the third quarter, where Allen Robinson wasn't double covered, but he found a soft spot, an opening in the zone where the corner, I want to say that was cover two, because typically you're going to play the flats in the cover two. But you might play the flat softly where you're moving up a little bit. Or it may have been a cover four with a hook zone, a curl zone. I forgot the name of it. It probably was a cover four. That makes a little bit more sense that it was a cover four, because that corner was a little deep back and the safety had the deep route and had to come in. So you have a square where the defenders are. The receiver comes in here. You got a safety over top who's trying to crunch down from the deep route. And then you have that. The corner player in the seam was trying to come here. Justin puts it right literally at the middle, puts it right there. And that was a perfectly thrown pass. I was like, goodness. I remember Herb Howard of the Bigs. I was like, oh, man, it was an easier throw to make. I'm like, it was. But to be a star in this league, you're going to have to end up throwing those type of passes. So it was just, it was a breath of fresh air. Let's just be honest, what we got from Justin Fields, a breath of fresh air. You've never seen a Bears quarterback do what he does, and he's only played two games. He's only started two games. When Mitch threw the ball, there's no disrespect to Mitch. It was a collective, or it was a he overthrew him. But to see these land on the money, his only overthrow was a Darnell Mooney catch. That was the thing. His only overthrow was a Darnell Mooney catch.
I saw that. I was like, damn, he bailed him out there, right there. But it's about time because they dropped some shit 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But, you know, now I don't know if I would consider this a passing of the torch from Darnell Mooney, from Allen Robinson to Darnell Mooney. I do not know if he'll come back because, you can see his agent on Twitter who deleted a tweet that said, come on, only three targets. And I'm like, I feel you as an agent. But also at the same time, this is a team sport.
He tweeted it?
Yeah, he got it. He
today?
It. Yeah.
What did he say?
He was like, only three targets, man. Come on. This was before the end of the game. I was like, I feel you as an agent. I can understand why you would want your client to get more than three targets. But at the same time, this is a team game, and he does not take priority over the team. And he's going to do what's best. Darnell Mooney was getting into soft coverage. There was soft coverage put on Darnell Mooney. I asked Darnell Mooney, was this something you acknowledged? You were acknowledged by Justin Fields where you said, yeah, they're playing soft. Let's exploit that. But he said, nope. It was an unspoken bond that they're forming. And the fact that they practice, after practice, lets me know that there is chemistry forming between them. And it's exciting. It's exciting.
So here's the question of the hour that we all want to know. We're all going to be talking about this week in the Bears media and on Bears Twitter. Who the fuck is starting? Do you think that Justin Fields, that when we'll sit up and when you go to Hallis Hall on Monday, that Nagy, you know it's not going to happen because Nagy doesn't give a fucking straight answer to anybody. We're going to roll with Justin from here on. I personally think, this is my opinion, I could be wrong, highly fucking doubt it. I think he's hell-bent on playing Andy Dalton. I think the minute Andy Dalton can fucking throw that fucking football, he's going to come back up there. And I don't really think it matters what the fuck Justin does. And I think that's beyond stupid. But that's Matt Nagy. This is a guy who, after a fucking win, a win that he brutally fucking needed, goes up to the podium and half-assed his congratulations to his own fucking offensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying? Like, after y'all was pressing him about it, and shout out to Mark Potash for not, going and asked him the question again, and he finally admitted that Bill Lazor threw the plays, which everybody with fucking eyes knew that Bill Lazor was throwing plays. I'm calling plays. Look at the fucking offense move. We know it wasn't Matt Nagy. He goes up there, Bill did a good job calling plays, but it still runs through me. Like, he's just an arrogant motherfucker. And like, I've never seen a coach who was like salty after his team won. It makes no fucking sense to me. So I am 100% sure that the minute that Andy Dalton is healthy, and I don't think it's going to be next week, it might be the week after, that nigga's going to start. I think he's hell-bent on that. And it kind of is what it is at this point.
If I had to bet, first of all, I think, of course, he struggles with his own ego. Because to mention the fact that, it still comes through me is sort of the, yeah, he may have got that, but I got this. It seems like you're jealous. And like, who walks in after a win so melancholy? Now, of course, you can probably argue that maybe it was David Montgomery's injury that got him down, but he also said he didn't know anything. So when you look at the win 2 weeks ago, he was exuberant, happy. That's what we're talking about. That's the sort of things we want to put together. The defense, even though the offense stunk, he was like, this is what we're trying to do. And so he was happy then. But so your offense then puts up 24 points, looks completely better, the best it's looked in years, and you're melancholy. And
then you get the last time that he was throwing, next time he was calling plays.
And then you get a little flustered when Jason Leisure asks you, what about the play calls? Who's calling the plays? Jeff Dickerson asked you first, and you don't really – oh, my goodness. You gave him, I think Jason Lee just said 162 words of a word salad that had no answer in it. And so I had tweeted, Matt Nagy's not answering the question. And so then Jason Lee just said, can we get some sort of clarity? And and Mark Potash finally said, yeah, for clarity's sake, who was calling the plays? And Matt was like, yeah, Bill did a great job. I'm like, come on. You can't be that selfish, that egotistical to say, to not say, oh, yeah, it was Bill calling the plays. He did a great job. But then at the same time say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this team win. And if that's, you know, step not calling plays, if that's putting me in a different position, I'm willing to do it. Then take some sort of accountability. It wasn't you. It was your offensive coordinator. He called a better play than you've probably ever called as a coach. So you should honor that. I wouldn't say that. Mr. Biscuit had a 6-touchdown game before. But
yeah, but those are some of the most easiest passes I've seen in my fucking life.
Also, but you know. So
but with these passes, and then we were talking about in the group chat, because you know, Pavy, the eternal Bears hater. When me and Thomas were going nuts over Justin. And Damian was like, man, I ain't seen Soldier Field be this loud in a minute. And this nigga Pat goes, hey, the Lions? All right, it's not that it's the Lions. See, look at the throws. You can tell, but I don't give a fuck what team it is. The throws were on point. The throws were fucking beautiful. He's putting the throws in traffic. That's what I'm looking at. I know the Lions are hot ass. We know that. You know what I'm saying? But it's the throws, the confidence that he had that I think was important. And when you're a rookie, I don't care what fucking team you're playing. You're a fucking rookie.
Yeah. No, it's just this was a different game than, like, for instance, Mac Jones today in the Patriots 19-17 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He would had an average, I want to say, about 5 yards per throw. He made some big throws, don't get me wrong, that were 10 plus toward the game. But for the majority of his passes, he was not throwing far. He was throwing, you know, just enough to get to 4 yards or enough for your skill player to get some yak. Matt Jones was averaging about 6 yards a throw. Now, if you contrast that with Justin Fields and the throws that he had today, once again, this is not to say that Justin Fields is better, but just a contrast. Justin Fields was averaging 12 yards a throw. Jared Goff was averaging 8 yards a throw.
Justin Fields is better.
Justin Fields is averaging 8 yards a throw. So, you know, that was a really, really big difference in game managing. Mac Jones did a good job of game managing, whereas I think the other rookies today, well, outside of Trey Lance, but other rookies this week, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, were striking, darting, throwing, you know, passes to win the game. They look different, whereas Mac Jones was the game manager, but he did make some big throws in the end. So, but to see Matt Nagy be so ridiculous in his press conference, that's just, I mean, even the Bears video, he wasn't smiling. It's like, are you mad that they were successful?
That's what it felt like.
You know,
as a head team successful.
As a head coach, you should be happy. Your team just won. And if you feel you failed at play calling, learn from Bill Lazor. You know, you guys are around the same age, but who says you can't learn? You know what I'm saying? Scott has a better business mind than me. I learned from him. I'm now superior than him, but I've learned from him.
This is false.
The business mind that I've acquired is now leagues above. You know, Scott had the infinity gauntlet with no gems in it, no infinity stones in it. I have all of them.
Wow.
I have all of them. So he set the stage, but I filled the stage.
Get the fuck out of here.
So
let's, you have, who do you think is going to start?
Andy Dalton.
This is going to be Andy Dalton. I'm with you. For some fucking reason. But this is the thing, though. I think he's going to have problems in that locker room, though. I think Mooney and A-Rod are going to kick his ass because they was getting some good looks.
Looks that they're not, well, they won't get deep looks because, once again, Andy Dalton, you know, he had that touchdown drive, but you're going to get dink and dunk.
That's my point. That's
dink and dunk works for a little bit, but it don't work enough when you need it.
Yeah.
You know, when the
dink and dunk won't lose you a game, but it won't win you one either.
The Patriots, this game against the Buccaneers is an example. It didn't win them a game. When they had a 3rd and 2, a 3rd and 6, whatever it was, it was not enough. And so when it was 4th and 2 and they know the linebackers are going to cave in, they may show blitz and then back out of it. You can't dink and dunk. And so that's why you attempt a 56-yard field goal. Also, because, you know, Bill Belichick understands the quarterback that Mac Jones is. When you have to do that, you know that dink and dunk is not the thing for you. So, yeah, Nagy's just that's just, it wasn't infuriating, but it was annoying. It was annoying to see that happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Let's talk about this defense. What do you think about defense? I kind of feel like the defense was good, but it's also they took advantage of a lot of mistakes from the fucking Lions more than it was actually good. Which is not bad, but I'm just saying.
I mean, well, you want your defense to take advantage of mistakes, so I can't be mad at them taking advantage of mistakes. My only issue is that the Lions could have had 21 more points in this game had they not went for it on fourth down, had they not turned the ball over. There's three straight turnovers, including the turnover on downs. They didn't do that, they probably would have won this game. Now, that being said, with every game, can you not say if A or B did, A, B, or C didn't happen, then A, B, or C would have won, or C would have won, or D would have won. So that sort of comes with the territory of playing football. You win some, you lose some. So like his press conference tomorrow, I might not even go. I'm not 100% sure.
Why are you not going to go?
You know, what's the point of me hearing from him at 10 in the morning when there's no really film to go over? The only reason I might go is because I probably won't make it to any other practice this week because I'll probably head out to Las Vegas or L.A. to Las Vegas. So that's probably the only reason. Anyway, yeah, he's an interesting coach.
Interesting in what George will use.
Well, see, anything can be interesting, even something that's infuriating, even something that's just really – baffles the mind can be interesting. So when I see him and I see how he acts, I go. And so while he was talking, I was like, what? And I asked Herb, I'm like, did he seem salty to you? He's like, hell yeah, he's salty to you. What you think would happen when a nigga take your job and do better than you? You know what I'm saying? Now, I will say there's an understanding that Ryan Pace could have had influence within the decision making he could have had influence in the decision making of Bill Lazor calling plays. Now, that can mean a variety of things. That can mean he directly told Matt Nagy, which as a general manager is more than likely unlikely. But it could have been the fact that Matt Nagy felt fear or felt those footsteps coming, you know, like when back in the day when you throw a pass over the middle and you set up the safety for a hit, you would say those footsteps are coming, and often wide receivers would drop passes. And Ryan Pace could have played a part in Matt Nagy feeling those feet, you know, hearing those footsteps and being afraid and then resorting to using Bill Lazor as the play caller. That being said, Bill Lazor's offense is easy enough to where he could continue to play call. And I think they'll have moderate success. I'm punting this season in my head. Punting not in the same sense that
we punted it for the season started.
Yeah. You know, punting, of course, colloquially is known as, you know, not, it don't really matter what the score is. I'm not saying that because it's always going to matter to the players. But I'm saying as fans, do not expect the Bears to do anything this year.
Yeah, I saw a couple fans like, well, yeah, the Raiders is a winnable game. I was like, don't do it to yourself, man. Do not do it to yourself.
No. Don't because set yourself up. Derek Carr can come in and drop the meat off on us, and then it's not fun no more.
Right.
So, no. Just I would say don't look at this for the result. Because if Justin would have passed for 300 yards, three TDs in the Bears loss, I'd be like, I think it passed 300 yards, though. You know what I'm saying? Because I understand where this is going and the team that the Bears are putting together. So I'm not too really focused on what happens in terms of the result. It's all about how the rookies, the younger players play. The offensive line looked 10 times better. And that sack was literally on Justin.
It's on Justin, yeah.
Because you're rolling out and there is someone coming on your blind side. That being said, it's tough. I mean, it almost seems impossible. You're facing in one direction. How are you supposed to know someone's coming up behind you? Especially when you're in a loud stadium. How are you supposed to hear footsteps and keep that going? That's a very tough and almost impossible thing to do that only elite athletes can do. And I'm not one of those elite athletes. So it's tough, but that's where you constantly have to be scanning the field, understanding your surroundings. Shout out to Justin for picking up his own fumble. It was like second in hell after that.
He's awesome at picking up his own fumble.
He was like, nigga, it's going to get back. The only thing missing from this game was a passing touchdown.
Yeah. I thought that was part of the game plan, though. Yeah. I feel like they wanted to be more conservative, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, on top of that, red zone TDs are the hardest TDs to come by.
Shorter field.
You know. you know, I mean, not even just red zone TDs. 10 yards in is the hardest to come by. If you're at the 5-yard line, more than likely it's going to be tough for you to even get the run up the gut because they're going to stuff the line of scrimmage. They're going to stuff the A gap, the B gap. And so you have to pass. But you have such a small field for you to corner. You know, if you run a crossing route, it may work. Or you may have a safety. You may a DB come in and pick it off. So it's a really tough field to get. And so the fact that they use David Montgomery to, you know, punch it in and Damian Williams, I thought that was a good call.
Speaking of David Montgomery and Damian Williams, what is the update on these injuries? It doesn't sound well.
Damian Williams has a groin injury. Who knows?
It's not quad? I thought they said it was quad.
Was it quad or groin?
Yeah, groin is Akeem Hicks.
Groin is Akeem Hicks. Okay. I confused the two. But they're both dealing with that. That's
terrible. We need one of them for this week because I like Khalil Herbert, but you don't want
to. David Williams has a quad. You're right, quad.
Yeah, we got to rely on Khalil Herbert to be the starter. Justin going to be throwing a lot, or Andy's going to be throwing a lot.
I have faith in Khalil Herbert as a starter. I have been high on him since college. The runs he had today were literally up the gut on purpose. It was not his goal to try to find, you know, and bounce outside because on top of that, he's a rookie. But I think the Bears running back room was stacked from the get-go. Nobody's going to be David Montgomery because David Montgomery is one of the best in the league. But I still believe that Khalil Herbert could do a good enough job. On top of that, he can pass catch. He's a very good, has very good vision. I wouldn't be too concerned of David Montgomery, which he's probably going to have to sit out several weeks. In terms of a quad for Damian Williams, it's all going to be, you know, what does the MRI say? What do the test results say? And we'll know in the coming days. I don't think we'll hear from Nagy about that till probably Wednesday because Nagy was informed by the league that he can elect to only do 3 days a week of availability. He has elected to do 3 days a week of availability. Typically, it was Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Now it's just Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which is it annoys a lot of the media, but that's what he chose.
He's a dick, man. There's a
vein of Matt that's selfish, and that selfishness can blind him to the needs of the team. But sort of is what it is at this point. What can you do? You know,
he's a dick. But anyway, so let's talk about this gauntlet that the Bears got coming up. We got the fucking Raiders coming up this week. And we will be in attendance. And it's looking like I might be in attendance for this game.
Maybe. Or I may cancel it, nigga, for you thinking it's sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, nigga.
See how this guy talks to me?
Yeah.
You see? First of all, let's look at the more disrespect. When I said there was rookie mistake by Justin, all you niggas hopped on me. It was a tip pass.
It was not a rookie mistake.
I didn't see, when I went back and saw the replay, I was like, oh, okay, it was tipped. When it was happening, I thought it was on him.
Yeah, they got on you, though. They got on
you. You got on me, too.
I just was letting you know it was a tip pass, bro. The fan in me jumped out, and I was like, don't be disrespectful. I'm not even saying Bears fan. The Justin Fields fan that has watched him since the Buckeyes jumped out like, relax. You know, don't disrespect him.
Well, we got the Raiders in Vegas. The week after that, the Grim Reaper comes to town. Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Oh, Bears.
Then we got to go play the GOAT in Tampa. Then we come home, and it's looking like that might be a Trey Lance, Justin Fields matchup because Jimmy G has a quad, and he said himself he's gonna miss a couple weeks. So
yeah, Trey Lance is gonna.
Was throwing some fucking bullshit. I'm sorry. That's just called like this. Shout out to our homie Tweez. Tweez was like, "This is how you felt with Nagy." I was like, "Nope. We're not putting the Nagy tag on fucking Shanahan when that nigga's right." On that one touchdown he threw to Debo, that bitch was floating like 50 times in there, and Debo was wide the fuck open. He was throwing some bullshit. Okay.
Trey Lance is the definition of a project.
Of a project, bro.
He needs to work on his mechanics.
Yeah.
In addition to working on his mechanics, he needs to work on his calmness in the pocket because the moment he senses pressure, his feet are just.
Yeah.
You know, the nigga playing Dance Dance Revolution in the pocket, nigga. The nigga looks terrified.
He was definitely throwing some wild pitches.
Bro, and he's throwing like he's a strong, you know, strong. He's throwing like he's a shortstop trying to get it out at first. Like it's a crucial out. It's freaking closing game of the World Series, and they got a man on. It's a full count. It's a chopper coming to him, and he is launching it. That's how he throws his passes. His mechanics are just weird, and I don't know any quarterbacks, and once again, it's not saying that there aren't. It's just that in my current recollection, I don't know how many quarterbacks have changed their mechanics and been successful. You know, but he's going to have to do something about those mechanics. Some people thought Patrick Mahomes was going to have to change the mechanics, and his mechanics are working. Wrong. You know, working
their mechanics
correctly.
Was kicking anybody's ass.
You know, but Trey Lance is just boy, remind me of CJ Stroud at Ohio State, and it. Trash.
It's not good.
CJ Stroud had a good game yesterday, so I won't disrespect him.
So this is breaking news coming from Jeff Darlington. He says Bill Belichick has now been in the Bucs locker room for 20 minutes, talking in a private area with Tom Brady. Belichick entered on his own without anyone else around him. I wonder what they're talking about. Okay. Interesting. Anyway, so out of these next five, how many think we won?
Oh, none.
I'm real. I think we finna go on a five-game win streak, lose streak. I hope you niggas enjoyed this one today because we are finna get cooked. The one thing I look for over the next 5 weeks, if Justin continues to play, which I don't think he will, I think Justin's going to play this week. I don't think Andy Dalton's going to be ready for this week. Of course, you would know better than me because you were at practice, but from what it sounds like, I don't think he's going to – but I do think he's going to bring him back against the Packers and he's going to get fucking killed. But I don't think Justin's got this job long term because we have a fucking idiot with a coach's IQ of zero. But when Justin does play, I'm just looking for how he plays. I think we're finna go on a when this 5-game streak is over, we're finna be 2-7. So I hope you niggas enjoyed today.
If I look at the schedule, I'm honest with myself. They beat the Raiders. They beat Green Bay. They lose to Tampa Bay.
Beat Green Bay.
That's going to surprise you, but Green Bay.
Yeah, that's not happening.
It's going to surprise you because Green Bay stinks. But
Green Bay does not stink, bro.
Green Bay sucks.
They do not stink.
They're playing boo-boo teams, and the Bears are a boo-boo
team. And what are the Bears? Right.
Bears are a boo-boo team, but also remember Las Vegas is a boo-boo team.
Vegas ain't boo-boo. They're just mid.
Vegas is boo-boo.
And the Packers are not boo-boo. Let's stop. Packers are not boo-boo.
They're going to prove why they're boo-boo, and the Bears are going to win. Right. So it's going to be – they're going to beat the Raiders. They're going to beat the Green Bay. They're going to get mollywopped by Tampa Bay. They're going to lose to San Fran. Pittsburgh, that's a toss-up. That's that Monday Night Football. I'm going to be at Pittsburgh as well. I'm not going to Tampa Bay. Not happening. I refuse. I'm not visiting Florida, and you niggas got COVID, putting you niggas in a Cobra clutch. I'm cool on that. But I'm – yeah. I feel like they'll probably lose Tampa Bay 49ers, but Pittsburgh. But I think they'll win the first two. So they won't split it, but it'd be 2-3. So they'll come out with what? 4-5 out of that total? So, could be worse. Then they got to play Baltimore and they're going to lose. So that's another. It'll be 4-6. Then they'll play Detroit. They'll win. They'll play Arizona, get mollywopped. They'll play at Green Bay, get destroyed. They'll play the Vikings. They'll win. They'll lose to the Seahawks. They'll beat New York. They'll lose to Minnesota. So whatever the hell that many wins was, that was it. That sounds like 8-9 or 9-8. But, yeah, I'm not predicting much. And if they get through this gauntlet and they're doing well, then that's a whole – then we have a whole different discussion. Then we have to think to ourselves, is this team good or is there something there with the team? And I would not have an honest answer for you. I don't know.
If they beat the Raiders and the Packers like you are absurdly predicting, then we can have a conversation about how good this team is. With that being said, it's not gonna fucking happen. I think the only game I would even give them a chance of winning is against the Raiders. That's the only one they have a chance, in my opinion. Now, if Trey Lance plays, we got a chance in that game. But let's talk about the defense one last time, man. Look, the fucking Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack out here looking like the APA. They out here looking like the APA, man. Robert Quinn, that fucking strip sack. And, you know, it was like he went from Quinn to Mack to Eddie Jackson. That was one of the biggest plays of the game. And I apologize to Khalil Mack on this podcast. Actually, no, I don't apologize. That's called motivation. This is the guy we've been wanting. Isn't he what? Ain't he like around 5 sacks right now?
He is at 4.
4? That's pretty fucking good. 4 sacks.
Last year he had 9. So 4 sacks through 4 games. Is, that's moving very well. That's moving back to be at a better rating on the NFL 100 list.
Yeah. He was way high. He was too high this year. They had that nigga like 20. And I was like, okay, y'all doing this off name. Because no.
I feel like it's impossible to focus on a player long enough for you to get... It's impossible to focus on that many teams and that many players and to be honest with yourself. I just don't think that really happens. So...
Yeah, well, it's just I feel like the top 100 is really just a fucking popularity contest. Who niggas like? That's really what that comes down to.
More than likely, I can see that it was funny on Khalil Mack's pickup of the Robert Quinn strip sack. He pitched it forward like he pitched it like he was throwing a freaking the remember the Magic Johnson gift, throwing it to the side. You know, he was throwing like, nigga, I'm like, this is football, nigga. You have to pass backwards. And then, of course, Eddie Jackson, I think he thought he must have an open lane. I'm like, you're getting tackled, bro. But Robert Quinn, his back looks different in terms of the ability to bend, to get off the block of a tackle and to bend long enough. You're almost parallel with the ground. And to swat the ball out of the hand is an impressive skill that not every DN has. And so a DN or outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. So it was very impressive. And then talking to him in the press conference, he said he was in a bad place last year. He was like, I was in a bad place last year. And Jason Leisure really asked respectfully, you know, I know this is a personal thing, but can you give us an idea? And he was like, well, man, nah, we'll leave that one. And he walks off.
That's a good Robert Quinn voice right there.
He be looking like he sells loose squares on 63rd National, but it's all good, bro. We still love you on the Bears. Yeah, but the Bears, Khalil Mack, Eddie Goldman was getting freaking moved easily. But, I mean, that happens when you ain't played football.
He ain't played in 2 years.
You know what I'm saying? You could keep in all the football shape you want into a big 6'5", 300-pound nigga is putting you in the freaking TV with me. So that's just, you know, that's tough. But those first couple of plays, they were just, trap block, get out the way. Let me move you out the zone. I can't say if he improved better on in the game. I would have to go over the footage more. But, yeah, he was getting steamrolled. But I digress.
All right. Is there anything else we had to go over for today?
No, I'm exhausted. It's a long day.
I'm exhausted. I mean, he's exhausted. I'm drunk. And, yeah.
Also, you know, of course, we will be bringing you all those post-game videos.
Our which I am uploading to the Patreon right now.
Our Patreon, Barber's Chair Network. Of course, you're watching this because you're a Patreon subscriber.
We might make this a clip and put it on Twitter. So y'all
exactly.
So always wanted to do this.
Patreon, like, nigga, your finger is too fat. You got to move it out. And you got to move it. And you got to point. So you see that? Patreon.com. Barber's Chair Network, / Barber's Chair Network. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And then, of course, the 79th and Hollis podcast hotline, the Go Crazy hotline. I put the 79th and Hollis hotline. It's the Go
Subscribe
Crazy.
Subscribe to the Patreon and fund our drinks at Fat Tuesday in Vegas.
No, you're not going to fund any drinks. You're going to fund gas and you're going to fund plane tickets. Remember that. This is a group effort. This is the people's coverage of the Bears. No, this nigga is drunk. So we're going to end this episode. We thank you all for listening. I'm Flo Zandolini on Twitter. He's Barb Chair Scott. We will catch you all to preview versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Well, hopefully I'll be there. Hopefully Scott will be there. And we'll be covering it live from Las Vegas. I would love to see that stadium. So thank you all for your support. And we will catch you all then.